want you to turn to Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to talk to you today about praying like Jesus. How many of you would like to be able to pray like Jesus? Do you think if you prayed like Jesus, you'd get the same results as Jesus? I think you would. He said, the things that I do, you'll do also in greater things because I go to the Father. So he taught us to pray, and he wants us to pray and be effective. And a lot of us have been frustrated because sometimes our prayers don't get answered, or at least not the way we think they should be. I've had a lot of prayers that didn't get answered, and I'm kind of glad sometimes they didn't the way I thought they should be. God had a better idea. Been a lot of those. I should probably write a book on all the different times when I was praying something and God said, you don't know what you're asking for. Here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, I got to thinking about this. I pray a lot. I really do. I pray a lot. But I can't say that I wander off into the wilderness a lot and pray. Unless driving through town on a day when some of the drivers make you want to scream is the wilderness. I'm not out in the wilderness. And some of you have heard me talk about this. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. I've been practicing that most of my life, or trying to do that most of my life. I find that if I can, do any of you talk to yourself? Well, I've decided that I'm not talking to myself. I have gotten to the point where when I start to try to, you know, I like to talk to myself because it's a good way to have intelligent conversation. But nevertheless, I heard another guy say that talking to yourself, you know, he says, if you see me talking to yourself, just realize I'm self-employed and we're having a meeting. Just trying to get things ironed out. I have adopted the attitude when I start, you know, mumbling to myself, I just get vocal about it and I include God. A lot of times I'm in the middle of trying to figure something out and I'll just be like, well, now this looks like it would go here, but I can't figure out what to do with that. And then I'll just go, is there any help here? I could use some help. And it's amazing how often it'll just kind of come to me. And I've just gotten in the habit of going down the road and talking to God. And you've heard me give those testimonies. I'm driving down the road, I'm talking to God, I say something, God says something sarcastic back. I know it's God because he loves me and he knows I love sarcasm. So, and then he'll say it and I'll be like, yeah, that was kind of a dumb thought, wasn't it? So I like this pray without ceasing idea. And that got me to thinking, well, if I can pray without ceasing, surely Jesus was better at it than me. How many think Jesus was better at praying without ceasing than Pastor Tim? Sure. I'm sure that Jesus was in that constant connection with the Father by the Spirit at a level that I'm trying to get to, but I don't think I've achieved yet. So that got me to thinking, if Jesus could pray without ceasing, then why did he need to go out somewhere in the wilderness and pray? Like, wasn't he already in contact? Maybe it's important to set aside times for prayer. I just think maybe it is. And I think you'll see that by the time I get done. So I just will remind you of this, by the way, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Every other Wednesday, about twice a month, we have soaking prayer here at the church. Soaking prayer is where we just come, we put on some music. Lately, we've been playing a video, a music video that I kind of created from different videos that I was able to pick up. A lot of the new songs that we've been doing are on the video. And I just sit down and wait on the Lord, talk to him a little bit, or I'll walk around the room. Some walk and some sit and some lay, and we just set aside some time and just kind of focus ourselves on God. And we pray over prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, you can grab one of those gray cards that's underneath some of the pews, and you can put a prayer request, and we'll pray for it. And sometimes we say things like, hey, there's, you know, something coming up. This is going on or that's going on. So while you're at it tonight, pray for the upcoming whatever. It'll be Wednesday night, so the upcoming election will already be over. But, you know, pray about it after the fact, too. God answers before we pray sometimes, the scripture says. So we do that, and I find that God talks to me during these times. Now, again, it's not that God doesn't talk to me a lot. I listen for his voice, and I've gotten in the habit of believing that he wants to talk to me. If you don't believe that he wants to talk to you, you might not be listening. And when you set yourself apart, at least when I do, I find that that time of setting myself apart, I mean, if I'm trying to listen, I'm more likely to listen. Sometimes I'm busy, and I don't listen as well as I should. I think that's why he uses sarcasm, because it gets my attention. But nevertheless, there's times when I struggle to listen, because I'm, you know, and men especially, by the way, one-track mind men, focused, trying to get something done. God likes to interrupt us and tell us things that we need to do. And I believe that, well, we need to learn to listen. I think it's a big deal. Now, I've got something that's messing up here. Oop. There we go. So, we have this verse that has been made popular. It seems like it's picked up some steam the last few years, especially from Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. That verse has been used a lot lately. How many of you think that might be true of America? Could we use God to heal our land? Do you think God wants to heal our land? No, you Americans deserve all hellfire and brimstone, the wrath of God. Ha! No, I believe God's waiting for his people to pray and to hear from heaven. And so I don't want to put an obligation on you, but I want to set an opportunity before you when I say that, hey, you know, you could come on a Wednesday night and relax and soak in the presence of the Lord and just wait on the Lord to speak to you. And it would be good for our church. It would be good for our community. In fact, I encourage you to bring a friend and do it. It wouldn't hurt you to ask someone to come. People from other churches, you know, we wouldn't be sneaking them off from their church to have them come and pray at our church. They can still go to their church all the time, but they can at least come out and pray a little bit. I'd like to see prayer rise up in the day that we live in. I'd like to see prayer become more important again in the day that we live in. And most revivals, in fact, none that I know of, didn't start with prayer. They almost always, I think probably always, needed somebody praying about things. And when you study revivals, you always find, you know, in some cases, just a couple of old ladies started praying real hard. And the next thing you know, prayer took off. And then the next thing you know, boom, revival breaks out. And again, while our prayers are needed, I believe while they're needed for the world, they're needed for us individually. I need those times of refreshing where I just sit aside a little bit of time and just say, I'm going to focus for a few minutes and put everything else aside. And I've told folks that come to our prayer times, there's some worse, yeah, they're right there on the floor. We've got some little tablets. Sometimes when I get in prayer like that, all this stuff starts flooding into my head. So I'll just walk over, grab up a tablet, and make a list of all the stuff that's bugging me. You know, yes, this needs done, this needs done, this needs done. Okay, there's my list. Stick it in my pocket, go back to prayer. How many of you have ever been praying and that's happened to you? Sometimes God's trying to just help you organize your life a little bit, help you remember all the stuff you've forgotten. I'm not afraid to let God help me with that. So today I want to remind you of some things about prayer, and I want to start out by looking at the Lord's Prayer together. And in spite of the reality that this prayer is probably being spoken all around the world today, probably by millions of people, as a literal, you know, how many of you know there are churches that do, they call it the Our Father? So it'll be spoken a whole lot today. But I don't think the main purpose that Jesus gave it for was so we could repeat it. I think the main reason Jesus gave it was so that we could learn from it. So if you want to, get to Luke chapter 11, because that's where we're going to spend the biggest amount of time today. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to look at this model prayer again, and I'm going to remind you and me of some of the things that we find in there. And I've known, there was a guy years ago, Larry Lee, who did, you know, hours and hours and hours of teaching on the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to do that. Only 2 hours today. No, just kidding. I'm just going to go over some thoughts real quick with you from Luke. So here we are, Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, how'd they know he was done? Oh, well, we'll get to that in a second. That one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Everybody say, teach us to pray. That's what this is about, this passage of Scripture. So he said to them, when you pray, say. Everybody say, say. If you've been around me very long at all, I've repeated this many times. I believe that there is a verbal advantage to prayer. Notice that they were listening. They could tell when he stopped praying. Oh, so he was saying things. They could tell. Yeah, I think Jesus could easily pray out loud because he prayed with great confidence. Why? Because he was praying to his Father and he knew his Father very well. Sometimes we're not very confident about praying out loud. And a lot of people say, oh, the Bible says you're supposed to pray in your closet. You're not supposed to pray to be seen by men, but you ought to be seen by men praying. If you pray to be seen by men, you already have your reward. Why? Because you're just trying to get them to notice you. But if you aren't trying to get them to notice you, but you pray with confidence, that's a good thing. People need to know you're a praying person. And confident people don't mumble, they state things. Now, have you ever been confident and said something stupid? Me too. Quite a lot, in fact. Just ask my wife. But I don't get before God and whine. But because I talk out loud, if I do start whining, I notice it. And I get before God and I say what I'm thinking. It's not just wishful stuff, wishful thinking. I tell him what I'm thinking. I say it. By the way, there are only two recorded examples in the Scripture of a prayer that was not spoken out loud. One was the servant of Abraham when he was looking for a bride for Abraham's son, and he didn't want to tell the bride ahead of time what he was looking for, and so he said in his heart, Scripture says, and Lord, this young lady coming here, if she's the one I'm looking for, let her do, and she did what he asked for her to do, and it was, you know, was a confirmation. The other was a woman named Hannah, and she was mumbling to a point where the guy that did hear her, but didn't know what she was saying, thought that she was drunk and accused her of it. Every other prayer, and by the way, then she had to correct what she was doing, and when she spoke it out loud boldly, he said, the Lord's going to do that for you. Wow. Speaking it out loud boldly got her to a place where... Now, some of you will be like, well, if I came on Wednesday night, I don't want to talk too loud. No, but talk loud enough for you to hear it. We've got music going on. Everybody else won't maybe hear you, but God will hear you, and you'll hear yourself. See, that's another thing that I think is great about praying out loud. When you pray out loud, it sometimes creates a momentum. You hear yourself, and you hear yourself, and sometimes you hear yourself having faith. And as you hear yourself having faith, it becomes a momentum to believe God to do great things. On the other hand, sometimes you hear yourself and you're like, what was I thinking? But sometimes you hear what you were thinking. I've literally prayed something out loud before and then I went, wait, excuse me. As I prayed that, Lord, your Holy Spirit spoke to me and that would be probably not what I really want. Thought I wanted it, but when I said it out loud and heard what I just said, I went, wait a minute, is that the best thing? So there's power in prayer. And I'm not saying you can't pray silently, but I encourage you, speak it before the Lord confidently. And then let him get your attention if the confidence you have is going in the wrong direction. And a lot of times that's the easiest way for me to hear it. He says, our Father in heaven. The second thing that I want you to think about is have an attitude of, hey, I'm before my Father. That was being said in the announcements and the testimonies beforehand. There was stuff coming up about that. Oh, yeah, this is good. I need to come before him as though he's my Father. And my Father isn't mad at me, even when I ask stupid stuff. Unless I know it's stupid. But usually he just wants me to realize, hey, what are you thinking? Know who you are when you come for prayer. You're his. You're his child. He is interested in communicating with you. Referring back to that 2 Chronicles 7:14 verse, if my people who are called by my name, you are called by his name. Wow. He values you and he lets you carry his name. Unlike some leaders until recently. I don't want to go there. I need to get away from politics. Sorry. Your Father in heaven will not disown you. He will talk to you. He will help you. So we need to know who we are. And your prayers do make a difference because you are his. How many of you think that if a stranger walks up to me and asks for something, I might not be as quick to respond, but if my child asks me for something, I am much quicker to respond? Hallowed be your name. When we come before God, we want to come as his children, but we don't want to forget to honor him. Recognize how great and wonderful and holy he is. This is a time of worship. So when we do soaking prayer on Wednesday nights, you can sit there and just worship God sometimes, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Somebody preached about that recently. You can find it on our website. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. This is a statement that also carries with it some things that talk about priority. See, the thing is, prayer is about us being on the same page with God, not God being on the same page with us. I may have an idea of how I want something to work out, but I have found that if I can find what God wants for that situation, his ways are better than my ways. They're always higher than my thoughts. I might even have good ideas, and he's got better ideas on my ideas. His spirit takes me to a place where great things can happen if I just want to see it on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What's that all about? Well, the thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about this as I was preparing this was, this is where I look to God, and I trust God to care about me more than I care about me. Do you believe God cares more about you than you care about you? Do you believe God cares about your children more than you care about your children? Do you believe that God cares about your husband or your wife more than you care about your husband and your wife? God is a God who is happy to provide for us. And I think we need to just trust him with that. And he doesn't say, give me enough that I can store it up and retire. That's not how the prayer reads. He says, give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to focus on the day at hand and trust him with our lives. Am I saying you don't prepare for future and don't lay aside some things? I think that's all well and good. I think, a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I think if you can do that stuff, that's all good. But the focus of the Lord's Prayer is today and trusting him that he's going to provide. Verse 4 says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive anyone who is indebted to us. Attitude number 6 in our list today is forgiveness. We are only as free as we let others be. Sometimes we have to step outside the kingdom. When we hold on to unforgiveness, that's what we do. We have to step outside the kingdom to not be forgiving. So sometimes we have to step back into the kingdom, and that stuff can't come in with us. I don't know if I'm saying that in a way that, but I've got this picture of being over here and holding my grudge, and God said, get back over there. But if I go back over there, I'll have to let go of this. And he's like, that's right. Let go of that and come back over here. And that's tough. But I can't carry unforgiveness into the kingdom. And I can't have unforgiveness in my heart if I want to make room for the kingdom in my heart. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I feel like the word that jumps out to me when I think of this morning at least, and I'm sure that this can be preached 100 other ways and has been, but I have this word, vigilance. Where does temptation start anyway? God doesn't lead us into temptation, so where does temptation start? James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says something very interesting. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone himself. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You know who I have to keep an eye on? This guy right here. This guy. I got to watch him. Keep an eye on him. And pray, Lord, deliver this guy from evil. Do not let this guy get himself into trouble. How many of you know this guy can get himself into trouble sometimes? Sure. So beware of yourself and beware of the devil. But I tell you what, the devil's not got a whole lot that he can do if you're aware of who God is and what God has for you. The devil gets really frustrated if I'm focused on God and I don't have time to see the devil. The devil doesn't know what to do. He's lost. Like, hey, look over here. No, I'm sorry, I'm looking at Jesus. No, blah, 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 blah. Off to the side someplace. The funny thing is, the prayer ends there in Luke. But the instruction does not. And a lot of people, when they preach on the Lord's Prayer, they end right there. Listen to the rest of what is said as we go on. Verse 5, because that was just the first four verses that we've looked at. Verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come on his journey, to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. Persistence. It's an honoring persistence. It's not a dishonoring thing, you know. If the guy in the story didn't get angry, he didn't yell at his friend, "You're no friend of mine. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. Get down here right now." He wasn't angry. He wasn't demanding, but he was persistent. And notice that the one who was asking really wasn't asking for his own benefit anyway. He was asking for the glory of God, for the goodness of someone else. Verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, find. And to him, finds. And to him who opens, or excuse me, to him who knocks, it will be opened." I know, if you're anything like me, you hate to pester people. Sometimes I hate to call for help because I just feel like I can get it done myself, and why bother anybody? Anybody else besides me ever do that? Yeah. We need to not be that way, but we are sometimes. God's not asking to be pestered. He's inviting us into something. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter." Sometimes God is waiting for us to begin to become that royal person who says, "I know God has something good here, and I want to find what God's got for me. And I've been praying about this, and I'm missing something, but I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to just say, well, it must not be. I am going to find out what God's up to, because God's up to something good." How many of you believe God's up to something good? He's always up to something good. It may not come the way we expected it, but he's up to something good. And we sometimes say to ourselves, well, I just don't like what God's doing, so I give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. He's not trying to change him. He's trying to change you. If we can get a vision for the invitation, we can find ourselves in that place of opportunity, not importunity. We won't feel like we're doing the wrong thing. We'll feel like we're on a quest. We'll feel like we're on a search. God's up to something, and I need to see what God's up to. God wants us to join him in doing his work. And his work's a whole lot better than anything else we can do. Verse 11, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The purposes of God are to pull us in and into the middle of what he's doing. When the disciples asked to be taught to pray, Jesus didn't give them something to just repeat over and over and over. He gave them something that was a call on their life so they could represent him in the earth. You are God's representatives, and you represent his kingdom. And your life, by being blessed by God, by being filled by the things of God, by being filled with prayer, can become that representative thing that other people might, little bit without you even knowing it, decide, I'd like to have some of that. No one had taught a prayer like this before that I can find scripturally or anyplace else. But even to this day, we humans, we like to just focus on form sometimes and formality rather than connecting to the King. And this is what God wanted to do when he taught us to pray, was connect to us, connect to us. Last thing I want to say about the Lord's Prayer is I want to mention the plurality of it. our Father. Notice Jesus didn't say, now start out like this, my Father who is in heaven. He started out, our Father. Then he later says, give us our daily bread. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. God believes in corporate prayer. He believes in you praying in your closet. I'll teach on that another time. Unless you want me to start right now. Let me see here. I could do another hour. No. Maybe I won't do that. But God believes in us praying together as well as praying by ourselves. And you're by yourself once in a while. And I hope a lot of you do that. That ongoing conversive prayer with God where you're just talking to God. And if you find yourself asking questions of yourself, turn it to God. Include him in on it. But I believe that times of prayer where we gather together as God's people are also amazingly powerful for the kingdom and for us individually. So, again, I invite you, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. You don't have to. You get to. Do you want to? Just a thought. You're putting pressure on me, Pastor. Sorry. I'm just getting the feeling that we're going to need more prayer in the days to come. More prayer, not less. But trust me, I've seen a few people come to the prayer meeting and find themselves, you know, Mike was given that testimony about being touched by the Spirit and giggling a little. I've seen people just get flat out whacked in the prayer time. And that's a good thing. Some of you need a good whacking. You haven't been whacked in a while. Just God will just sit right down on you and his presence will come on you and you'll just feel his power and you'll just be like, oh, this is better than I thought. Better than I thought. All right. I didn't warn any of the guys to come and finish up for me today. So I won't pick on either of the guys that has a chance. I just let it go. But I do want to pray for God's people here. That God's people would just become this amazing group that want so badly to be in his presence. And to be touched by his goodness. And to set aside a little time maybe. Make a little time for God. The thing is, God don't need you to do that for his sake. He doesn't need you to do that at all for heaven's sake. He needs you to do that for your sake. So stand up. We'll close in prayer. By the way, I didn't jump up when I had testimony time, but I had a lot of fun this week. I got to prophesy over a couple of people. One person was a pastor that I'd never met before. And the Lord said, tell him he's about to take a step into a new level of responsibility and authority. I was like, okay. So I did. And he shared with me some things that are just about to happen. And he was just really glad to hear that what's about to happen is being confirmed to him by the Lord. How many think that's a lot of fun when that happens? And I just look for opportunities. There's always someone I can testify to. If nothing else, I just wait until they tell me to have a good day and I say it's unavoidable. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Sometimes they look at me funny, but sometimes they laugh. Changes their heart, changes their attitude. So put your hand on your heart. It is, Lord, for us. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. And Lord, you have made us kings and priests according to your word. So we pray that we will get a heart for prayer in a season when we need it, when our families need it, when our friends need it, and when our country needs it more than ever before. We pray that we will be people with a heart for prayer. And I pray, Lord, that you will break that out, not just in our church, but in every church, that there will be a real heart to go after you, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and we'll hear from heaven, and you'll heal our land. Boy, does it need it, Lord. As we go from this place, Lord, may we find ourselves going down the road, just listening for your voice. May we just find ourselves always worshiping you in all that we do, and always wanting to tell you about our day and hear about what you want us to hear about. And you can speak to us, Lord, and I pray that you will in everywhere we go and in everything we do. And we thank you for all this, Father. Bless your people as they go in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.